Week, take your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings chapter 15. And without covering too much of a review, we're studying the five courses of punishment or chastisement that God said he would put upon the nation of Israel if they don't repent. And it's part of the cursing of the law. The fourth course of punishment is what we were looking at, and we kept seeing that after each course, kind of bringing the course to a conclusion, you know, like in the first course of punishment, God raised up Samuel the prophet. In the Bible, he's like the first of the prophets. He's designated so about three different times. After the days of David and Solomon, Israel went back to their idolatry, and the second course of punishment fell on them, and that's when God raised up Elijah, the great prophet in Israel. And they didn't repent, even though he was a great prophet. They didn't repent under the ministry of Elijah. And so the third course of punishment began, and that centered around the rising up of Elisha. And what we were studying last time, we are actually studying in 2 Kings chapter 13, where is the time Elisha died. Now we're going to look at that again in a little bit, but we move past there to see that after Elisha died, then God began to bring upon them the fourth course of punishment. And with that, he said, "I will bring the sword, a sword upon you to avenge the quarrel of my covenant." And that is, God kept saying, under the law, I'll curse you. And now here's the fourth time he's going to have to bring extra judgment, seven times more worse than the previous ones. And in the a sword coming upon them, they are being defeated by their enemies. They're further into idolatry, and that is the 10 northern tribes. The southern two tribes are following close behind, but not quite as severe as the 10 northern tribes. And God does bring the sword upon them. He also said, "I will send pestilence among you. You'll be delivered into the hand of your enemy, and you'll measure your bread by weight and not be satisfied." So that we see them as what we were doing last time is identifying all the different times that they kept going under. They're kept being attacked by their enemy and losing the attack. Now, it was right at the end of Elisha that he told the king there, Jehoaz, that he would defeat Syria as many times as he shot the bow in the ground. He only did it three times, so that was the end of the victory for them. And they've been being defeated each time, furthermore each time. In chapter 15, we ended last time in verses 19 and 20, where Mahaman actually was besieged by Assyria. He's the king of Israel, the 10 northern tribes, and what he does is to appease the king of Assyria, he takes all the wealth from the rich people and pays off the king of Assyria, and so the king of Assyria goes on home. But that doesn't last long, because in 2 Kings 15, down in verse 27, it says, "And in the 250th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Ramaliah, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 20 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In his days, Pekah, king of Israel, came Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, and took Arjon and Beth-Makkah, and you can see all the different cities that he captured. He carried, the end of verse 29 says, carried he away into Assyria, and Hoshea the son of Elah made a conspiracy against Pekah, and he ends up dying. So that you see that there's another, Assyria comes down again under another king, and this time they're fallen to the sword. They're being taken captive. And that continues on. If you come over to chapter 17, this is where the fall of the 10 northern tribes take place. I'm just going to read you the first five or six verses here. Second Kings chapter 17, verse 1. It says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea the son of Elah to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found a conspiracy in Hoshea, and he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. And the king of Assyria came throughout all the land and went up to Samaria, now that's the capital, and besieged it 3 years. And in the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Harbor, the river of Gozan, in the city of the Medes. For it was so that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God and had brought them up out of the land of Egypt from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. And it just goes on condemning them for what they've done. So they finally are totally captured by the king of Assyria. So this is, we'll read more about the fall of the 10 northern tribes, but I wanted you to see that in this fourth course of punishment, I'll bring the sword upon you. The sword is coming upon them, losing, gone. And they're finally taken into captivity. That being taken into captivity is going to lead all the way to the fifth course of punishment. But one of the things that we said is we kept seeing the different prophets that he raised up. Samuel under the first course and ended that. He raised up Elijah under the second course. He raised up Elisha under the third course. But what happens during the fourth course of punishment? There's no prophet that's mentioned here. There's different mentions about prophets. But I want you to go back to chapter 13 because this is really interesting. And look again, and we studied this, if you look at verse 10 of chapter 13, it says, in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoahaz, son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel in Samaria and reign 16 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, but walked therein. The rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, his might wherewith he fought against Amaziah, king of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Now he's first called Jehoahaz, in verse 10. But in verse 12, he's now called Joash. And you'll get used to that. Anyhow, it's just a little difference on the spelling of the name. It's the same person. He's the king of Israel. But my point to you is all of a sudden he's mentioned as reigning, and then all of a sudden, verse 12, he dies, and verse 13, Jeroboam, his son. By the way, this is a second Jeroboam. The first Jeroboam was the first king of the 10 northern tribes. But this is another Jeroboam years later. Anyhow, that's Joash's son. He reigns in his stead. Now, so you're going through his life, but you're really not done with his life. If you look at verse 14, it says, now Elijah fell sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Now we studied all this already, and this is where Elijah told him, you know, to shoot in the ground, and he only did it 3 times, and he said, you should have shot more. Now you're only going to have 3 of victories. Elisha. I saw Rich's hand go up first. So Elisha told him to shoot in the ground. I'm just reminding you of what we studied. My point is, in verse 14, the man who died in verse 12 is talked about again. In verse 12 as well, it talked about his battles with Amaziah, king of Judah. Well, that's a second king after he reigned. Amaziah began to reign over Judah, but it talked about his fight. Well, if you read chapter 14, the first part of chapter 14, it's all about the battle with Amaziah. I'm saying that to you because there's something about that happens that's right there in Kings, where it talks about this Joash king of Israel dying, and yet it backs up to pick up some events that took place before he died, and then we'll go back to his death again, and then to the reign of his son. And the reason that that is significant, something is happening at this point, and I think I can demonstrate it to you. I told you, you wouldn't be able to follow me. I know, especially when I read words wrong and names wrong. But I want you to follow the kings. Let's go back. Let's take them in order. Let's go to the kings of Judah. Let's go to chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, in the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoaz began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. So you see there's a Joash there, Jehoaz, I should say. See that name? Don't get him mixed up with the guy that's the king of Israel. He's got the same name over here in Judah, but he's before this guy. That's an O, Jehoahaz. And he's also, his name is sometimes called Jehoahaz, and sometimes it's Joash. It's the same name, it's just two different ways of writing it. And so he begins to reign. You see, he's reigning over Judah. And he has a 40-year reign. Yeah, in Jerusalem. Judah is where Jerusalem's at. That's the southern two tribes. These men are all the lineage of David. They're reigning in Jerusalem. They are the rightful kings as far as the king line that's going to lead to Jesus Christ. This is all apostasy over here in Israel, as they don't even have a king of David reigning over them, and they're further into apostasy than the southern two tribes of Judah. So anyhow, you got Jehoahaz, Joash, king of Judah. Then you come over to where we just read, but start in chapter 13, verse 1. It says, in the 23rd year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Judah, verse 1 again. In the 23rd year of Joash, son of Ahaziah, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, son of Jehu, began to reign over Israel in Samaria, and he reigned 17 years. So here's Jehoahaz. He's going to now reign in the 23rd year. Is that what it said? There's an overlap, by the way. When you get to his son, it looks like he reigned 17 years. That would take you down to the 40th year. Did I read the verse wrong? Is that the 23rd year? Yeah. So it looks like there's a three-year overlap between this father and this son, but we're not so much studying the years right now. You have Jehoahaz reigning while Joash, king of Judah, Jehoahaz, king of Judah, is reigning. So we got his reign, and then we go down to where we started reading a moment ago. Look at verse 10 of chapter 13. In the 37 years of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoaz, son of Jehoahaz, to reign over Israel and Samaria, and reigned 16 years. So this man dies while this man's still reigning. Jehoahaz of Israel now takes the throne. He's going to reign for 16 years. And it's in his reign, Jehoaz of Israel, that Elisha comes to him, and the verses that we just read where he predicts about their victories over Samaria. And so we have that incident that surrounds the death of Elijah. Elisha, thank you. Keep saying it. Well, so in verse 14, you have predicting the death of Elisha before he died. And then if you look over in verse 20, it says, and Elisha died, and they buried him, and the bands of the Moabites invaded the land in the coming at the coming in of the year. And so you have the death of Elisha. Now, what we're saying is, I mean, you got Samuel the prophet, then you got Elijah, the great prophet. And remember the story about Elisha, what God gave him? Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I die, God will grant unto you what you want. And he said, what do you want? He said, a double portion of your spirit. What we're saying is, Israel didn't repent under the ministry of Elijah, and then God gives twice the light to the nation of Israel in the time of their darkness with Elisha. What could be greater than that? Well, I'm about to show you what's greater than that. So anyhow, Elisha dies, and the question we're asking is, where's the light for the nation of Israel at this point? Well, if we keep following, if you go up to chapter 14, verse 1, it says, in the second year of Joash, son of Jehoahaz, king of Israel, reigned Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah. And he reigned 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadah Dan of Jerusalem. So he reigns 29 years. And he is Amaziah, who's the son of Joash, king of Judah. So we're over here to this Joash here, Jehoahaz. And now we got Amaziah reigning just about the same time of Josiah. Jehoahaz, I mean, of Israel. So they're reigning about the same time, and then he has a, 29-year reign? I didn't write that in there, did I? So we got Amaziah reigning here. Look as well with me to let's do it this way. Look at chapter 13, to go back to the other side. Chapter 13 and verse 13, it says, and Joash slept with his fathers, and Jehoiabim sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. Well, we know that before Joash died, he had battles with Amaziah, and so that's recorded in chapter 14. Come to chapter 14, verse 16. And it says, and Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, and was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel, and Jeroboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So now we're back to that point again, right? A few more details about Amaziah, and you get down to verse 23. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord and departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath at the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. Now, you remember when we studied Jonah, we says, oh, here's Jonah in the book of Kings. That's the Jonah, the book of Jonah. And God, even though he's judging them, he has some mercy and allows them to retrieve some of the land that they lost. But anyhow, this is a wicked king. And that takes us down to Jeroboam. He's going to reign 41 years. Now, while he's reigning, we got one more king of Judah to pick up with, and go to chapter 15 and verse 1. It says, in the 27th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, the son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Jechahiah of Jerusalem. So now we have Azariah, the son of Amaziah. Now, by the way, if you read, you have the same listing of kings of Judah when you read 1 and 2 Chronicles, especially 2 Chronicles, I should say. And when you do, Azariah is called by another name. He's called Uzziah. And when you read about him in Chronicles, you read about Uzziah all the time. The prophets will call him Uzziah. So I just, you can look that up and check that out and realize that. I just want you to get used to who's reigning over here, who's reigning over here. But at this time when Jeroboam's reigning over Israel and Uzziah or Azariah is reigning over Judah, this is the time. Now remember, Jeroboam followed Joash or Jehoaz, king of Israel, and he's the one that in his time, just before he died, is when Elisha died. So with that in mind, come over with me to Hosea chapter 1. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. It said, "The word of the Lord came to Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days..." I'll wait till you get there because this is important. "The word of the Lord came unto Hosea, the son of Beriah, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham..." By the way, we didn't put Uzziah's son up here, but you've got a list of here of when Hosea began to prophesy. He began to prophesy in Uzziah's day, right? And then his son is listed, and the next son, his grandson. So there's Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah. "And in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel." There it is here, right? The reason I put Hosea 1:1 right here is you can see that in this king's day and in this king's day is when Hosea begins to write his prophecies. And it's all about the backsliding of the nation of Israel and how God's going to judge them and then restore them eventually after he judges them. The same people he's going to judge is the same people he's going to restore. And you can read all about their apostasy and the judgment that's going to come upon them and the restoration. All the prophets speak about judgment, calling the nation of Israel to repentance, but they're calling the nation of Israel to repentance. Then comes judgment, and then there's going to be this restoration, and God's ultimate promises are going to be fulfilled to the nation of Israel. All the prophets follow that pattern. Hosea is prophesying during those two kings. Elisha is gone. Elijah's gone. Samuel's gone. But all of a sudden now you have the writing prophets. And then, that's not it. Watch me take you through all of them. Go back now to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at chapter 1 of all these. But for your, the understand, I told you last week about the prophetical books of your Bible. They're going to run, they are the historical books of your Bible. Historically, the history of Israel is recorded from Genesis to Esther. They cover the history of Israel, both the go into captivity, the return from captivity, how God spared them in captivity. So all that is recorded in those historical books. After you get to Esther, you have Joel, the poetical books. You have, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So those are the poetical books. And then after you come out of the poetical books, you come to the prophetical books. The first prophetical book, and they're divided into major and minor, and that just simply means which ones wrote more. And so the minor prophets, it doesn't mean that they're less important, it's just that they have less to say or what their writings are less. But Isaiah stands at the head of the prophets. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 1 says, "The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah." That's the same as Hosea, right? Only Hosea is going to talk about Israel. Isaiah is only going to talk about the kings of Judah. Well, he's actually going to talk a lot more than that. He's going to talk about both. He writes, but my point to you is in Hosea, you can see both lineages of the kings. The same time Hosea is writing, Isaiah is writing. And so you got the book of Isaiah. Now, after Isaiah comes the book of Jeremiah, and we're not going to look at that because Jeremiah prophesies after Judah goes into captivity. We haven't even got there yet. Jeremiah prophesies as they go into captivity. So that's Jeremiah, and then you got the Lamentation where the crying over them going into captivity. Then you have Ezekiel, he's prophesying while they're being taken away to Babylon. And then you got Daniel who prophesies while they're in Babylon. So those prophets come after these things. So we'll skip Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel. We've already talked about Hosea, that's the next book. So the next book after Hosea is Joel. Go there. You got to skip all those ones I just told you about. And they're big ones. Hosea follows Daniel, and Joel follows Hosea. But now, when you look at the first verse of Joel, you don't get any, it doesn't tell you what kings are reigning. You don't see it there. But what you do see is, if you look at verse 4 says, it says, that which the palmer worm hath left, hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left, hath the canker worm eaten. And that which the canker worm left, hath the caterpillar eaten. Awake, O ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, ye drunkards of the vine, because the new wine, for it is cut off from your month. For a nation has come upon a land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. And that's enough for me to warn you that what Joel is prophesying is they're already going through famine, things are getting worse and worse, and a king's going to come back and come down and destroy them. In fact, like verse 15 says, alas for that day, for the day of the Lord is at hand, as destruction from the Almighty shall it come. And I'm always seeing this, is that there is a day of the Lord, like they're talking about the day of the Lord is at hand in that verse 15, that means it's near. Well, there was a day of the Lord in the Old Testament, and then there's a day of the Lord that's yet coming, because that's usually a reference to the tribulation period that's out in the future. I should do it this way for you. That's the way you look, timeline, right? So anyhow, but the day of the Lord back here is the destruction where their enemy is going to come and destroy them. That's the fourth course of punishment. So you see Isaiah, and then Hosea, and then Joel all talking about the fourth course of punishment, but here God raises up a prophet who writes, and Joel writes about the judgment that's about to fall on the nation of Israel, and because they're prophets, they have a short-term and a long-term prophecy. Come over to the book of Amos. The next book, the book of Amos, chapter 1. The words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. You think seven times more, there's judgments falling, and here Amos rises up. He's the same time Hosea is prophesying, Amos is prophesying under those same two kings. God took away Elisha, and what did he replace him with? The written word of God. You know, Isaiah chapter 30, it says that he told Isaiah to write it down that it might be a testimony for the years to come. Because Israel isn't listening, and they're not listening to the prophets, God has not just given them spoken prophets, but he's now given them writing prophets where he's going to preserve his word, because this nation is going to go into apostasy. He's not going to trust them with the Bible. He's going to give it to the prophets and preserve his word in writing. I keep thinking of what it says in Timothy, where Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy than the Mount of Transfiguration, where they heard the voice of God and they saw the glorification of Jesus Christ. Peter says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And what he's referring to is what's written in the scriptures. So that if Elijah, I mean Elijah, was a light to the nation of Israel, started with Samuel, and then the greater light under Elijah, and a double portion under Elisha. What did God do when they went further into darkness? He gave them the written word of God, preserved it for generations so that he would know the truth. They can't trust the priesthood because they're corrupt. They can't trust the government. It's corrupt. And so God gives them the writing prophets who not only prophesy about the events of their day, but tell all the way to the end what's going to take place. So we're in the book of Amos. Come over to Obadiah. Well, probably Ezra probably wrote Chronicles. I'm not sure about the Kings. I only got a couple minutes. Let me show you this. Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. Now, I'm going to stop there because you don't know what kings he's writing under, but he's not writing about Israel at all. He's writing about Edom. Most people think Obadiah is one of the first written prophets of your Bible. And he's condemning Edom, and he's not condemning Israel, so it's not associated with those kings. So just see what he's saying and realizing who he's prophesying against. But you know what the book after Obadiah is? What is it? Jonah. Do we know when Jonah prophesied? Didn't we just read 2 Kings 14:25? That in this king's reign, Jonah prophesied, and he prophesied about he was actually sent to Nineveh with a warning to Nineveh. So let's skip Jonah. We've already studied him or saw when he prophesied. The next book is Micah. Look at verse 1 of Micah. The word of the Lord that came unto Micah, the Morasherite, in the days of, now catch it, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. You see what king he began to prophesy under? Not Uzziah. What's Uzziah's son? Jotham. And that's when Micah began to prophesy after Uzziah's reign, in the reign of Jotham. And then you come over to Nahum. Luke says we never study Nahum. We did mention Nahum once before, and if I just read the first verse, you'll see why. It says in verse 1, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Anyhow, you see the burden of Nineveh? Nahum is 100 years after Jonah went to Nineveh, and he preached, and they repented under the preaching of Jonah. But they reverted back to their idolatry, and 100 years later, God pronounces judgment upon Nineveh with Nahum. And Nahum is another prophecy against another city, not Israel, but Nahum. And the books that follow that, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, these guys prophesied after the captivity, when they came back from the captivity after the 70 years, and as well Malachi did. So without getting ahead of ourselves, these are the prophets who prophesied during the days of these kings, and they all started after the death of Elisha. And God gave light to the nation of Israel through the written prophets. That's how important your Bible is, and God's plan that when he couldn't bring men and trust priesthood and kings to be truthful, that he gave his word and preserved his word for us to study and to know the things that God was going to bring upon Israel. And that's the fourth course of punishment. The next will be the fifth course of punishment. But that, I found that real interesting. Hope you did too. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for the way that the Bible is all connected, so that we can not only see the things that the kings or the prophets are saying about the timing of when they prophesied, but we see the wisdom, your wisdom, in giving the written word of God that's going to be preserved for generations, forever and ever, so that we might know the truth of your word to the nation of Israel, the prophetic program, and the age of grace that we study and enjoy learning about through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.